pray, shall we, and thank the Lord. Our Father, thank you for the testimony from Tom right here and the great update on how, oh Lord, you are working. You are working even in the Tampa, Florida area. Oh, we thank you for Jimbo. We thank you for the ministry going on in that dangerous part of that city. Lord, we pray that that church plant would flourish and thrive and stay faithful to the Word, and that men and women would come to faith, turning from sin, turning from lives of wickedness and following after Christ. Lord, thank you for the powerful gospel that we have. Thank you that you have given to us new hearts that love you, that know you, that now have a heartbeat that longs for you, that desires to know you, that we want to obey you. So, Lord, would you increase that even more in each of our hearts? Lord, do that even tonight as we study your word, and then as we come together in corporate prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Proverbs chapter 2 is where we are. Proverbs 2. I would like to read the whole chapter. Bear with me. It's 22 verses, so I want to read it, and then I will preach the chapter. I can't preach it all verse by verse. I just want to let you know that now. But I want to read it, though. The word of the living God from Proverbs 2, beginning in verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Psalm 119, verse 9. David was spot on when he wrote that in Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? But by keeping it according to God's word. And David's son Solomon evidently knew that same truth as well. And Solomon here in Proverbs is going to counsel his son Rehoboam that Rehoboam ought to keep his ways. He ought to guard his life and order his steps according to the word of God. But what I find in Proverbs chapter 2 is so helpful for us. You cannot attain God's wisdom by drifting in life. We cannot attain the wisdom of God by drifting, because we call that complacency. We are not called to spiritual complacency, but rather we are called to scriptural study of the Word. I love chapter 2, and it has been a very informative time of of being in God's Word, because chapter 2, if I could illustrate it, it's like a door that is flung wide open. Proverbs 2 is you're at the doorway and the door is flung wide open and it's calling you to seek the wisdom from God, and you can find satisfaction with this right guidance that God gives. The door's open. Here's all the benefits. Here's all the guidance. Here's all the direction that you need. It's all here. It's right here. It's right in front of you, available for us. You have it there in your outline. I was pondering this, just a couple of sort of brief ways to think about it. We need the right pursuit as well. We all pursue something. We're going to find in verses 1 to 11 that we ought to be men and women who pursue God and pursue truth and His wisdom. And we need the right protection. We need the right protection. Nothing in this world can really, truly give us protection but God. God and His wisdom is an all-sufficient shield for His people. Third, we need the right revelation. Nothing can guide and direct us in life except for God's guidebook and His rule book that He gives in His precious and holy Word. And we need the right companions as well. Choosing the right friends, the right people who will influence us. Iron sharpening iron. One man sharpens another, right? We need the right perspective as well, the right perspective. And we'll see here in verse 17, fidelity to God, fidelity in the marriage, to flee evil, to follow after God, to be faithful, to be faithful, to be faithful. Every verse, every word in Proverbs 1 to 9, as I've mentioned before, but I think especially here in this chapter, every verse is like dripping with fatherly urgency. Just fatherly love and fatherly urgency is dripping as if life depended upon it. Because it does. It does. So here we are in this manual of wisdom, truth for youth. Chapter 1, we saw in the last few weeks the priority of wisdom and guarding from violent companions and violent influences. And then we saw how last week we must receive the wisdom of God and not reject it, thus to the ruin of one's own soul. Well, now, in Proverbs chapter 2, it's an encouraging chapter. It's encouraging because here's all the positive benefits that come from getting God's wisdom. It's a good chapter. It's a good thing. It's like the father is motivating his son to give your all to God. Give your pursuit, your energy, your effort to the greatest ambition of your life, the pursuit of the Lord and His Word. Now, something interesting, if you look in your Bible, chapter 2 is 22 verses long. Some Hebrew scholars have commented on this, and they have said, I think Proverbs 2 is what they call an alphabetical psalm, or a poem, an alphabetical poem. Maybe you could call it an ABCdery poem. What do you mean? Well, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. It's almost their way of saying, maybe the way that Solomon is writing and putting this together, it almost shows completeness. It's a comprehensive chapter to comprehensively instruct you about all the issues of life. This is what you need for wisdom, for godliness, as you walk with God. So, run to God and His Word. If you hear nothing else tonight, run to God and His Word. Now, I have two headings. You see it there in your outline. That'll sort of be our guide for the next few minutes. Number one, we must get God's divine truth. Get God's divine truth. Get it. Get it. Receive it. And then number two, guard from dangerous troublers. But the order of the two headings is very important. Because the way Proverbs is going to flesh it out here in chapter 2 is we must get the word in us before we can be protected from the wicked. We must internalize the word before we are protected from the world, to put it like that. So let's see if we can kind of run through the chapter together, running to God, running to His Word. And He will prepare and protect and guide us through life. Let's look at verses 1 to 11 together. Here's the first heading. The first instruction for you and for me: get God's divine truth. Look at how it begins in verse 1. My son, here's a father's loving exhortation to his child. And verses 1 to 11. It's not a bunch of cold rules. It's not a bunch of stoic imperatives or strict demands. It's wise, fatherly invitations to pursue the greatest delight and the greatest desire for God in your heart so that you can find satisfying knowledge of God and refuge in God. Look at verse 2. The end of the verse: incline your heart to understanding. You see it in verse 10. Wisdom will enter your heart. It's much more than just intellectual knowledge. It's one thing to know about God. Solomon says, I want your heart to be in love with God. I want you to know this God, not just intellectually, but affectionately in your heart. So let's look at verses 1 to 4. Seeking the Word. Seeking the Word. How do we get God's divine truth? But by seeking the Word. And you see it here in verses 1 to 4. Look at all the if statements. It's these conditions. Now, I'm going to read it here in a moment, but let me state it like this. The Father is saying, without this, you're going to have a miserable life. And that's what he's saying with all the ifs. If you do this, then you'll get it. But if you don't have this, you're going to have a miserable life. You cannot have wisdom without the study of God's Word. Look at verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and if you will treasure my commands within you. Oh, I love the word treasure. It's the word Zephaniah, interestingly enough. It means to hide God's Word in us. It means to treasure it. It means that you're internalizing it. You're cherishing, you're protecting, you're guarding, you're prizing the Word. I esteem the Word of God. The Father's saying, son, you're going to treasure something. You're going to love something. You're going to prize something. Money, fame, popularity, girls, whatever it can be. But whatever you get, treasure the Word of God. Verse 2, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. Verse 3, for if you, I love this, if you cry, the Hebrew word for cry is the Hebrew word for preach. Interestingly enough, it means to loudly proclaim. God, I need your wisdom. Verse 3, you cry out for discernment. Lift your voice. There's the parallel there. You're lifting your voice. Verse 3. For understanding. We need that, don't we? In our day, we need discernment. We need understanding. The ability to distinguish right from wrong. Truth from error. Truth from half-truth. We need that wisdom. God, guide us. God, guard us. Verse 4. Oh, this is so great. Look at the verbs here. If you seek for wisdom like you seek for money. Verse 4. And if you search for wisdom as if you do for a hidden treasure, then you'll discern the fear of the Lord. Notice the verbs, though, in verse 4 for seek and search. It reminds me of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 13. Remember this? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and he hid again. And from the joy over it, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys the field. It's like the Father saying, son, you're full of energy. You're full of energy. You need to know in your life what to devote your energies to. You're going to give yourself to something. You're going to be all out energetic for something. And the Father says in verse 4, you need to seek and you need to search God and His wisdom from the Bible. From His Word. And verses 1 to 4 are just so cool. Because It's like verses 1 to 4 are fragrant with hope for all who love Bible study. Isn't it? I mean, we love studying the Word. We love being in the Word. We love learning the Word. We love wisdom from the Word. God, I need your truth. I want understanding. I want your commandments. I want discernment. And it comes from the Word. So, Christian, as you are growing with God and going with God, keep studying the Word. Keep growing in His truth. Keep gaining His wisdom from Scripture. This, if anything, shows the beauty of Bible study. Regular, diligent, consecutive, frequent Bible study. Well, that leads to verses 5 to 11. Not only be studying the Word, but now you're satisfied. Verse 5, then. Do you see it? If you do all those things, then, verse 5, then you'll discern the fear of the Lord and you'll discover the knowledge of God. That's the fear of the Lord. To fear God is to know God. Personal intimacy with God comes through His Word. It comes through His Word. It comes through obedience to His Word. To fear God is to know God. It is to embrace reality. It's to have a biblical worldview. It's to have a proper perspective of all things in life. Where does all this come from? Verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. And look at the wording, from His mouth. Well, that kind of reminds us of 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the Father is saying, son, you need to know your Word. You need to be in the Bible. You need to seek God's wisdom and you'll know Him and you'll fear Him. So that tells us that the Word of God needs to be our supreme and our only reliable guide in life. Not a mystical way that involves promptings or hunches or feelings or an idea that God talks to us. God talks when we read His Word. We want to hear the voice of God when we read the Word of God. The Bible is our only unchanging, trustworthy, dependable, perfect source of guidance. And look at verse 7. God stores up wisdom for the upright. God is a shield for those who walk in integrity. What a wonderful promise that God is a shield when you live in integrity. Not perfection, but the direction of your life is one of full devotion to God. That's integrity, full devotion to God. And then wisdom will guard you and you'll discern righteousness. In verse 10, wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Verse 11, discretion will guard you and understanding will watch over you. This is what we want, isn't it? Get God's truth. Get God's divine truth. And He gives it in His Word. Now, I'm not preaching this as if it's brand new to you. You know that. You're here because you love God's truth. If you didn't love His Word, you wouldn't be here. But you do love His Word. But Christian, as you think about this and hear God's Word as we go through Proverbs and the benefit and the blessings of wisdom, think about it in your own heart. What is your daily routine of getting God's Word in you? I trust that you're in the Word, but think for a minute. We're all busy. We all have busy mornings and afternoons and evenings. We're all busy, but we prioritize and we make time for the things that are most important for us. So what is you hear Solomon talk to his son about getting God's wisdom, what is your daily routine of getting the wisdom from God? What are your habits of regular Bible reading? what is it that you seek and search for, to use the language of verse 4? Is your pursuit of God and His Word like other pursuits that you have in your life? What is it that you cherish the most in your life? The Father is saying, here's the greatest door. It's open. The wisdom of God is available to you. Whatever you get God's wisdom. Whatever you get in life, whatever you pursue in life, be sure that you get the wisdom from God. And that's the Father saying, get God's divine truth. Now, if you have that, verses 1 to 11, I want you to look in your Bible, because in the Hebrew, it couldn't be clearer. And I'm thankful that in English it brings it out as well, but there's so many phrases, it can be easy to overlook. Verses 1 to 11 lead you to verse 12. If you get God's wisdom, it will watch over you, verse 12, to deliver you. And now look at verse 16. Exact same phrase. It will, do you see it there? It will deliver you. Now in verse 12, it will deliver you from the evil way. In verse 16, it will deliver you from the strange woman. There are temptations from without, and there are temptations from within. Like a watchman in the ancient world, when they had the city walls and they would have their corner towers, and there would be a man up in that tower, and he would be the watchman all day, and even in the night they had those that would have to guard the city. They'd be armed, they'd be prepared. Well, so it is with the believer. We need to be armed with truth and prepared for spiritual battle. Prepared for spiritual battle. I'm reminded of James 1. You are tempted when you are carried away and enticed by your own lust. And then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And then when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. So the Father's saying, beware. You need to know your enemy. But the enemy might seem really powerful. But if you get God's word will guard you. God's word will deliver you. God's word will protect you. God's word will shield you. In your outline, two things: from the evil man and the evil woman. What an honest father. What an honest father. Let's look at these. Number one, in your second point there, guarding from dangerous troublers, the wisdom of God will deliver you from the evil man. Verse 12, you'll be delivered from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. These are not only bad words and dirty jokes and that sort of thing. The Hebrew word means you've taken something good and you've turned it upside down. It's not just blatant evil. It's not just impurities. It's the good things that are turned upside down. It's speech in verse 12 here that is perverse, meaning self-serving. And look at the guy's defilement in verse 13. It will deliver you from those who leave the paths of the upright. Upright means that which honors God. We don't need to walk that way. And that they walk, verse 13, in the ways of darkness. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. But here's somebody who loves to walk in the ways of darkness. Verse 14 continues, he delights in doing evil. It sounds like our world. Right? Isaiah 5, what God calls good, they call evil. And what God calls evil, they call good. And here's the man right here in Proverbs 2 and verse 14. He delights in doing evil. He's ready to dance down the aisle of wickedness and pursue his sin. And he rejoices in the perversity. He rejoices in it. What is it that can save and deliver and protect and shield somebody from this? I love my children, but I can't ultimately protect my children from this. Proverbs 2 gives the answer. It's the word of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's the truth of God. As much as I would love to shield my children and protect them all through life, I'm not the one who ultimately can do that. But the wisdom of God and the word of God can do it. Verse 15 continues, his path is crooked and he is devious in his ways. He doesn't walk on the straight and narrow like Joshua said, don't turn to the left and do not turn to the right. These guys are devious and they're crooked and they're not walking toward the Lord. God's wisdom delivers you from the evil man, from evil culture, evil society, but it's the temptations that come, Here's the Father saying, the ultimate shield is the fear of God and the knowledge of God, which comes from His Word. Pursue His Word. Well, that will deliver you from the evil man. Oh, but what a father. Look at number two, it'll deliver you from the evil woman. Now, in verse 16, the wisdom of God will deliver you from the strange woman. That's kind of weird. Strange woman. Well, she's the adulteress. And the father is evidently going to bring this particular lady up quite a bit. In fact, so much so, he will talk about her for 65 verses. More by far, more than any other topic in Proverbs 1 to 9, guard from this sexually immoral woman. Proverbs 5, 6, 7, and 9 kind of flesh this out in a greater commentary. She's a strange woman in verse 16 because she's outside of the marriage covenant with you. She is to be foreign to you. She's to be strange to you because you're not married to her. She's not to be intimate with you because you're not married to her. She's to be strange. If you're married, then the Father says there is only one person on the earth who ought to legitimately and in a God-honoring way gratify one's sexual desires, and that is the wife by covenant. The wife by covenant. So the wisdom of God delivers you, verse 12, from the way of evil, the evil man. And now verse 16 delivers you from the strange woman who she is an adulteress who flatters with her words. And she leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. That's the greatest definition of marriage. Proverbs 2:17. I was taught that in seminary in my biblical counseling classes, and I go here often. Marriage is a covenant of companionship. It's right here. It's a covenant of companionship. It's a covenant which speaks of a vow, a commitment, a promise. It's saying, I promise to live by my commitment. Notice, not live by my feelings. But I live by my commitment. Are there feelings? Of course there's feelings. But our feelings are not the foundation of the marriage. The commitment is. A covenant speaks of longevity and permanence. She is someone who has forgotten the covenant of her God. But notice also companion. The companionship speaks of a friendship. It speaks of intimacy. It speaks of closeness. A supreme, near relationship. It ought to be the most intimate. The closest, the supreme, unrivaled relationship that a man could have in this life. And the Father is saying, son, I want you to hear me in verse 16, that adulterers are those who flatter with their words and they leave the companion of her youth and she forgets the covenant of her God, meaning the covenant that she made before God in the presence of God. With the husband. Genesis 2:24 and Malachi 2 talk about marriage being a covenant. Uses the language of covenant. But the Father is so brilliant, and it's good for all of us to hear this. The Father says, you need to hear who this woman is, because she hits the man dead on in his weak spot. Verbal flattery. Verbal flattery. I mean, what guy would not want to hear, you're doing great. You are doing well. You're doing a good job. You're doing amazing at that. Nobody can do it like you do. You're the best. What man would not want to hear that? And that's where she comes in with her cunning flattery. She's a woman who is selfish. She takes advantage of people. The past covenant commitments with her husband at the marriage altar are all empty now. The precious intimacies with her husband are soon forgotten and dull. Fidelity to one man in marriage, all that covenantal stuff is pointless to her now. She finds no value in relationships, but only her own self-gain. So, adultery and all sexual sin, selfish. It's self-focused, self-loving, self-directed. And that's why the Father brings out, you need to guard from adultery. And the ultimate guard is not just not having an iPhone or not having a TV or a computer, all the access or whatever. All that, there's a right time and a place for those protections and steps, sure. But ultimately, the guard and the shield is God's wisdom and God's word. That's what gets to the heart. That's the ultimate shield from this immorality that is so prevalent. And the Father is saying that this woman is so dangerous, she will kill you. She will destroy you. She will destroy your life and your soul, if you're not careful. Because all adultery, sexual satisfaction, is sin against the spouse and sin against the sovereign God as well. But you know what? Real quick. Listen to this. Even though the Father knows that there are evil men who tempt, and there's an evil woman who tempts, we serve a God of forgiveness. We serve a God who washes the unclean. We serve a God who can take adulterers and cleanse them. And just ask King David. We serve a God that can take fornicators and those that have a very, very black past, like the prostitute in Luke 7. Just ask her and you can be forgiven. She was forgiven. Praise the Lord for that. And many of us here can testify that this God that we serve, that we worship, that we talk about, is a God who cleanses and he purifies and he washes. But even though God forgives, there can still be consequences that can be very long standing and painful. Again, just ask King David about that. So then the Father says to the Son, now you need to guard her and the word of guard from her, and the word and the wisdom of God is your ultimate protection. But he says in verses 18 and 19, adultery is so dangerous because it brings a slow death. It's like a trap. It's like the claws are put around you. Verse 18, her house sinks down to death. And her tracks. Now, the Hebrew word for track, oh, it's so picturesque. It refers to a chariot that just keeps wearing down in the brick or in the mortar or in the mud. And you have these well-worn. This is not a one-time thing. This is over and over. This is the habit of this woman. She's unclean. She's unfaithful. Verse 19, none who go to her return again, nor do they reach the path of life. Be careful, son, that you don't fall into immorality, because it's a trap and dangerous. That's why the Father will say in Proverbs 7, her house is the highway to hell. It's why Proverbs 5:5, the path of adultery is what leads to death. That's why Paul in the New Testament says to flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22. So the Father reminds the Son to get the word. And then the chapter ends with a ray of hope. Look at verse 20. So now, in conclusion, verse 20, you will walk in the way of good men. You'll keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. This is covenant language. If you obey God, you'll be blessed of God and get His promises. Oh, but verse 22, the wicked will be cut off from the land. That's covenant language. If you disobey God, the covenant curses are going to come your way. And the Father's saying, Son, get the Word of God. Treasure the Word of God. Pursue the Word of God. Seek the Word of God. The wisdom of God will deliver you. You know, thinking about all of this is such a great lesson for us, isn't it? There's not some hidden thing that we've got to do to be protected from this world in which we live. And we think, oh, how can I be shielded and protected and my children and my grandchildren and how can I be guarded? Here's the ultimate way to be guarded. To know, treasure, pursue, search, find, love the wisdom of God from the Word of God. May the Lord help us to do that. You know, I want to close with a very, very brief anecdote about John Rogers. I love reading about John Rogers, and Fox's Book of Martyrs has a lengthy, lengthy account. John Rogers was the first martyr who was burned at the stake by Queen Mary of England. We often call her Bloody Mary, and rightfully so. John Rogers was the first. The first that was executed at her hands. February 14, 1554, John Rogers was led to the place of execution. But get this, his wife with 9 small children followed him. 9 kids. John Fox in his writing says they were small children. Following their mom behind the dad. Going to the place of execution. But with that sight, the father was not cowardly. He wasn't daunted. He wasn't fearful. He didn't cower away in fear and shame. Rather, he had courage. He had boldness. But just days before he died, He was already in prison. He knew it was coming. He wrote a letter to his 9 children. And I think you have it there in your outline. Well, a part of it. You've got a few lines of it. John Fox said it like this. Give ear, my children, to my word, whom God hath dearly bought. Lay up God's laws within your heart and print them in your thought. And, for example, to your children, to whom I wish all good, I send you here God's perfect truth, and I seal it with my blood. Keep always God before your eyes, with all your whole intent. Commit no sin in any way, but keep God's commandments. Wow. That sounds like the father here in Proverbs 2. If you get anything in life, get God's word. John Rogers had the same, and may that be true of us as well. Father, thank you for your breathed out word. We love it. We long for it. We want to search for it. Oh God, tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, this weekend, Lord, help us to be those who diligently search for your word. We thank you for it. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.